Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Now, the markets heaved a sigh of relief when the courts in America, at least one court, put paid to Trump's tariff plans. But as you probably heard in breaking news tonight, a federal appeals court has reinstated the most sweeping of Donald Trump's tariffs a day after that trade court had ruled he was exceeding his authority in imposing the duties and had ordered an immediate block on them. Well, what does it all mean? That's what we asked John Nicholls, National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation.
Well, there are reports that the Federal Appeals Court is coming in with a reinstatement of at least some of it. I have not read the Appeals Court ruling because we're literally, as we say, it is breaking news. But what I can tell you is this is not shocking. Folks in Ireland should recognize that the United States has a very complex court system at the federal level. We've got, in this case, an international trade court. We also have standard federal benches. Then you have appeals bench, and then you have the Supreme Court. So there's a lot of avenues for which to upset and upend what's going on. But what we know at this point is that an appeals court has temporarily stayed the action that occurred. Now, that means that they want to look at it, right? It does not mean necessarily that they're going to toss it aside. So it could yet be that the Trump tariffs will be overturned on these constitutional grounds. Many, many skilled lawyers, many skilled analysts of these issues believe that the initial ruling that came out a day or so ago was a strong ruling and was written in a way that could uphold, you know, debate and challenges on these issues. But what the appeals court reminds us of is that even a strong ruling can get upended or upset. So in a roundabout way, what I would tell you is we are still on the tariff roller coaster, and that roller coaster takes us up and down, takes us to, you know, Trump's on top, Trump's down. It takes the U.S. stock market up and down with it.
Right. So don't look at your 401k retirement fund is basically the message from this interview, is it?
Absolutely. In fact, it's funny. I do, you know, certainly the most important thing I ever do is Irish radio. But I do a lot of media in the States. And I have often been on an interview doing a conversation, and the policy has changed during the course of the interview.
Right. Okay. So this is not unexpected. It keeps you on your toes and nimble. But look, if this ultimately is bounced back to Congress, is there a route to that? How is it likely to fare there? Is this likely to progress to the Supreme Court? Do we know even where it goes from here?
What you're seeing with the appeals court is that it is, you know, it's already moving rapidly through the judicial branch. Supreme Court will be the ultimate arbiter on this, and that they don't move as fast as other courts. So we'll see. But of course, the Trump administration will pressure them. Put that in one box. Now let's take out our next box, and that's the legislative branch. What the initial court in this process has told us is that this is something that the legislative branch is supposed to have a lot of say in, that Congress is supposed to have a lot of say as regards tariffs. That makes sense. It fits with the Constitution. And so the question is, could Congress step up and have a real role here? The answer is no. And the reason is that the Republicans who control the House and Senate are divided on this issue. There are a lot of Republicans who are very much with Trump and going to back him up all the way. But there are key Republicans like Rand Paul, a former presidential candidate and leader of a libertarian wing of the Republican Party, who hates tariffs and is absolutely arguing that Congress should be involved. What that's probably going to create is a chaotic situation where, while Congress may talk a lot about tariffs, it is unlikely that they'll do a lot. So the likelihood is that this stays on that judicial route, and also, finally, that the Trump administration looks for other avenues in which to do this. They pegged their tariff actions on one old piece of legislation that they thought allowed them to do what they're doing. The lower court said that wasn't right. They will now look at other pieces of old legislation and policy. Remember, we've been doing trade policy since the 1790s. And they will look through it all and try and find some other avenue. But the indications from President Trump and the people around him is they're not getting off this roller coaster. They want to keep riding.
Okay, and it opens up another front along with immigration and funding to academia in the battle between the executive and the judiciary. But I'm going to move on, moving along to Elon Musk's departure. Was it the big, beautiful bill of ramped up defence spending and massive tax cuts that saw him off? Or is this just the natural end of his period in office? And from the point of view of his Tesla shareholders, a welcome return to the helm there.
I think you nailed it on the end of that question. I think Elon Musk, if everything that he was doing with Doge, Department of Government Efficiency, that was basically his project, if everything was going great and if the American people were, you know, out in the streets cheering it on, and if he was being treated as a heroic figure, then I think he'd stay on. I think, you know, they'd extend his special government employment. Instead, what's happened is Musk has become a drag on the Trump administration. He is far less popular, even than President Trump, whose numbers aren't all that good. And so I think the Trump administration is ready for Musk to step out of the spotlight. At the same time, Musk himself, I think, appears to be very ready for it. In his recent interviews, he seemed to be very upset about the amount of disdain that has been directed his way. And also, frankly, at what impact this has had on the companies that he's involved with. And so I think it's kind of a, I don't know if it's a happy parting, but it is a accepted parting on the part of both the Trump administration and Elon Musk. The question is, does Musk continue to be engaged in his capacity as the richest man in the world? Because remember, his money was very, very critical to electing Trump. Could be very critical to keeping Republicans in Congress. He says he's stepping back from political involvement. If he does, that has a broad impact on the Republicans beyond just this issue of Doge.
Joe Biden's health and how open he was about it. These health problems have been outlined in a book by Jake Tapper, the political correspondent. What problems is that causing to the Democrats, particularly the Democrat hierarchy, who, you know, depending on how much knowledge they have or how much knowledge the grassroots believed they had about this situation?
Yeah, it's a controversial issue, and there's a lot of push and pull on it. A huge portion of the Democratic grassroots are still quite loyal to Joe Biden, and they don't like this book. They don't, frankly, like being told that maybe they were lied to about some things or at least deceived. But by the same token, they don't like criticism of Biden. What's happened is that the book has had an impact. It's caused a lot of conversation. It's become a very big deal among the intelligentsia in Washington and New York. When you go out to the country, what you hear is something different. Most people at the grassroots of the Democratic Party liked Biden, but they also knew that he was getting older, that there were challenges with his candidacy. But one thing I will tell you finally is this does feed into a distrust of a lot of the leadership of the Democratic Party that has to do with much more than just Biden. There is a sense that the leadership of the Democratic Party too often sits in Washington and makes decisions that are delinked from, you know, what's going on with the rest of the party around the country. And I do think that discomfort is very real. And you see it in the poll numbers, which show that even among Democrats, dissatisfaction with the Democratic Party is very high.
John Nichols there, National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation. For the purposes of our discussion, we're just going to stick to tariffs. They're back on, Joe Neville. What do you make of that?
Look, to be honest, I wasn't expecting that it would be as clear-cut as it was. So I'm not surprised at this. This is something that won't go away. I think the one thing that we've learned about America over the last 6-7 months in the new administration is not to believe what you're seeing and not to be sure that you have will be the same tomorrow. Unfortunately, that is the case. So I wasn't when we saw the other news, I wasn't surprised. When I saw this, I wasn't surprised. So I won't be surprised. Ultimately, that's what we're dealing with this administration. We just have to be, we're on a roller coaster dealing with them. And unfortunately, for the American people, it's like that for a significant minority, ultimately, who didn't vote for him. Obviously, a majority did. But then even across the world, we're dealing with this. And this is unfortunately the way it's going to be. Ultimately, what we're seeing in America is, the Constitution being tested. And I think that's where the ultimate balance of who actually is govern America, whether it's the Congress, whether it's the Supreme Court, or whether it's the President. Unfortunately, you know, as was just outlined there, we have seen that element being of the Constitution being tested with old laws being used by the President, and ultimately this will go to the Supreme Court.
John Brady?
Yeah, I think a roller coaster probably sums it up, and unfortunately, it's ordinary citizens that are on that roller coaster, and I think it's, you know, totally unacceptable that, you know, Irish people in particular are being put in that position, and Irish people, citizens now, we've experienced all sorts of difficulties there, cost of living, and we've already had the government come out and say, due to the uncertainty in international markets, etc., that there will be no cost of living packages as a result of this. And I think we're going to face a lengthy process now of this. The tariffs is going to end up in the Supreme Court in the US, and unfortunately Irish citizens cannot wait that long, because whether there's tariffs or not, it has a chilling effect. And you know, I take it back to my own constituency, where we're supposed to have a media campus, the Greystones Media Campus, €300 million in investment, mainly by US financiers. There's $24 million invested from ISIF, the Irish Strategic Investment Fund. That's completely frozen because of the announcement, although it not implemented the 100% tariffs on TV and media productions outside the US. Right. So that chilling effect is having a real impact on ordinary people. So we need the Irish government now to step up, you know, to do everything they can to protect the Irish economy in terms of engagement, yes, with the EU, with the US, but also investing in the Irish economy in terms of our infrastructure. We have, you know, serious issues in terms of water, in terms of energy supply. We have the resources there. We need to invest in that in the immediate term to make sure we're viable.
Well, I was just, myself and Louise were out there talking, and we were saying, like, you wake up in the morning and you go, What's he done now? You know, look, you know, Trump has 10 days now to issue new orders reflecting this permanent injunction. And, you know, his administration has already filed for an appeal against this ruling. So, look, at least there's somebody keeping an eye on him, I suppose. That's as much as I can say to you. At least there's somebody watching what he's doing and kind of saying, hang on a sec, this is outrageous. So, you know, you just never know. You don't know what he's going to do. You wonder, is it coming from an ego place? Is it just coming from trying to shock the world? I have no words.
You're at a loss.
I'm at a loss.
Louise, this is obviously going to play into to budget considerations. It's going to play into a whole load of things. Everything is basically on hold for a US court decision.
Yeah, which is crazy when you think about it. And I think that it just goes to show how wide the ramifications of anything that the US is doing or will do is. And I mean, John is right. It has been said that it's going to be no cost of living package. And Pascal Donoghue a couple of weeks ago was saying that the cost of living package that's been done annually, you would need €2.2 billion to do that. And what Minister Donoghue said, and it was quite stark the way he said it, he was like, that's money that I could need to protect jobs. It's money I could need to, you know, protect public services. And it's not money that we're going to have. And I mean, we saw what happened last Friday with the 50% tariffs on the EU. We saw how quickly that was changed. And you just don't know what way it's going to change again. So the government are going to approach this budget very cautiously. I don't think it's going to be the same giveaway budget that we've been used to over the last number of years, that kind of post-COVID era budget. And I think we're all in for a shock come October when the budget's announced. All
right. Post-COVID or pre-election?
Well, I couldn't possibly say, John.
We're going to have to take a break in a second. But Francis, seeing as, you know, you were saying you were at a loss for words on the tariff issue, are you at a similar loss for words on your own intentions come November for the Oris?
I'd have no idea how this rumour started, other than I was asked in probably February, would I be up for the conversation? I feel like I'm saying that all the time. And
has
that
anyone
was
had
it.
That conversation yet?
That conversation hasn't happened at all.
Are you still open to that conversation?
I mean, like, I'm open to talking to people, no doubt about it, but it's not something I have ever considered. It's not something I've actively seeking. I can't even imagine the scenario. That is the truth.
Right, sure. Maybe pay the current fella a visit. You can look around the house, maybe.
Well, I think he's wonderful, so I think he's great. He's great.
All right, we'll take a break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.